An illegal immigrant who's been living in Ann Arbor, Michigan, was arrested earlier this week in Arizona. Mohammed Abdullahi was protesting that state's new law allowing police officers to arrest anybody suspected of being in the country illegally. Now the 24-year-old faces deportation to his native Iran. That's an even bigger problem than you might assume, he says, because he could be executed for being gay. His case is not unique. A recent report in the Chicago Tribune suggested that the number of gay immigrants seeking asylum may be on the increase. Earlier this morning, we spoke about the issue with Eric Berndt. He's the supervising attorney for the National Asylum Partnership on Sexual Minorities. It's part of the Heartland Alliance's National Immigrant Justice Center. Berndt says most LGBT people don't leave their home countries with the intention of seeking asylum in the U.S.
For people who know they're gay or lesbian or transgender when they get here, I think that most of them do leave their countries because of the persecution and danger that they suffer. Now, does that mean that they actually conceive of themselves as refugees? Does that mean that when they get here, they're thinking, I'm going to apply for asylum? Usually not, because they don't know that they're eligible for that kind of relief. But there is some point, usually late adolescence or early adulthood, when my clients often decide that I just can't live here anymore. And they'll go to great lengths to cross international borders and to get to a country in which they feel that they're safe. The other pattern of clients is people who are here, they come as kids or even as adults, and they don't know that they're LGBT, and perhaps they don't even know that it would be dangerous for them to be openly LGBT in their home countries. So only after sort of accepting themselves and learning about immigration law and about the status of LGBT people in their countries do they come forward and apply.
Now, Eric, what happens to people whose cases are unsuccessful?
Well, if you're unsuccessful at the asylum office, then you are placed into removal proceedings. So for a person who is thinking about considering applying for asylum at the office, there is that risk that if you lose, you are on the path to removal and deportation. Once you're in immigration proceedings, you get that hearing at the immigration judge. If you lose on that hearing, then you can appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals. And if you lose at the Board of Immigration Appeals, you can appeal once again to the Federal Courts of Appeal.
Have you seen a sizable increase in the number of applications from people in that predicament?
We've seen increased interest in applying for asylum from LGBT people. Unfortunately, I don't think it's at the level that it should be yet. There's at least 1 million foreign-born people living in the Chicago area, and if you figure that 6 or 7% of them are LGBT and most of them come from countries that are asylum-producing countries for LGBT people, you're looking at a population of maybe 60 or 70,000 refugees in the Chicago area.
Part of the problem for them is that they'd have to come out in order to make the request for asylum.
Exactly, and that's something that a lot of LGBT refugees, people who are afraid of going back to their country, simply can't do because they're undocumented.
They might not be accepted in their community in this country, and that's part of their fear too, is that right?
That's right, and that's one important thing to remember is that although asylum is a great thing for people who are truly facing persecution, we can't pretend like everything is fine for the LGBT population in the U.S.
This is 848 on WBEZ. We're talking to Eric Berndt. He's the supervising attorney for the National Asylum Partnership on Sexual Minorities, part of the Heartland Alliance's National Immigrant Justice Center. Eric, if you can, tell us a little bit about the time limitations. I know you have to apply for asylum at least 1 year after you're here. And beyond that, then you got a problem, right?
Yeah, that's correct. In 1996, as part of the Illegal Immigration Reform Act, the Congress passed a one-year deadline for asylum applicants. And their concern was that people were fraudulently applying or were filing frivolous asylum applications. Unfortunately, this has impacted a lot of bona fide refugees, including LGBT asylum applicants. Most of them, when they get here, don't know that they're eligible for asylum. And for that matter, a lot of them don't even identify as LGBT until later in life. And it's difficult to convince an adjudicator that exceptions that are available theoretically for coming out late or for changes in your country, it's difficult to convince an adjudicator that the exception to the deadline should be applied.
I want to talk a little bit about the process. What happens when somebody comes to you seeking asylum based on what might happen or has already happened in their home country based on their LGBT status, that is lesbian, gay, transgender? And what happens in Chicago's immigration court as it relates to these cases?
Right. So if people come to us and they're already facing deportation, then they will be in immigration court. And that's usually when they find out about asylum. So they come to our office and we ask them questions about why they're afraid to return, who would harm you, why would they harm you, would you be able to get protection from the government? And on the basis of those questions and the research that we do about their home countries, we tell them that, yes, you might have you might be eligible for asylum or other forms of protection, or you know, no, it's not appropriate to apply for a case in this situation.
What kind of track record does your organization have actually in terms of getting successful outcomes in these kinds of cases, especially here in Chicago?
Well, we've actually been able to win about 90% of our asylum cases. We attribute that to the fact that we work in partnership with really great law firms, including the leading law firms of the city, and we vet our cases to make sure that we're taking meritorious cases. Unfortunately, if you don't have a great attorney, as is often common for immigrants who have no right to legal counsel, if you have no attorney, your chance of success is greatly reduced.
Now, why do you think the government doesn't keep a closer eye on the success rate? They don't really track that much.
You know, the government doesn't like to track the statistics on asylum as much because, for several reasons, I think it could raise Freedom of Information Act requests that could question some of their practices in adjudication, or just for administrative efficiency and cost. They've come under a lot of criticism from courts of appeal and from legal commentators for the way that the immigration courts and the asylum offices have worked. So maybe they don't want all that information out there.
Eric Berndt is the supervising attorney for the National Asylum Partnership on Sexual Minorities. It's part of the Heartland Alliance's National Immigrant Justice Center. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today on 848.
Thanks for having me. It was my pleasure.